Hello there, I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Coast to Coast podcast. Become a Coast Insider to hear the rest of this fascinating conversation and check out recent shows where we learned about scientific efforts to revive the woolly mammoth, the latest in military drone technology, and the mysterious Shroud of Turin. And you can listen to those programs and many more amazing Coast shows by heading over to coasttocoastam.com and signing up for Coast Insider.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
All right, Richard, before the break, I bring up one of the most important points, and I think it's rather obvious. But Richard, if you were in possession, you had a helmet from a little gray alien, or you had a piece of the dashboard from some flying saucer, some piece of evidence, would you bring it forward into the public and risk going to prison to be the most important person ever in the history of everything?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we do know, Jimmy, that the regulations, the laws on breaking classified information are severe.
Yeah, right. So why not fall on your own sword? Be a martyr. You would be the most important person in the history of the known universe. Wouldn't you do it? Well, I would. I would.
You would, but you and I are not in the position to do that, and we would probably be filtered out long before we get to that point. I mean, the people within the classified world have a certain training. They have a certain personality. They have certain discipline about following orders and being team players, and that's how they get to the positions where they are, and that's why they are trusted with the information that they have. You know, it's funny. When I was in high school, I thought that I wanted to join the Air Force, and in my high school, we had a junior ROTC for the Air Force, and believe it or not, I was in. I wore the uniform. After I quit, my mother, years later, said to me, "Richard, I knew you were never going to be in the Air Force." I said, "How'd you know?" She said, "You were always too independently minded." And I think that's true. I think I would never have really made it. But there are people who do make it, and they are cut out for it, and they're the ones who get the security clearances.
That's right. So breaking that security clearance, right? You're the guard at the warehouse, right? At Bigelow's warehouse in Las Vegas. You're the guard. Don't you? You've signed away your life, and I get that. But if you know that that's in the room, don't you go in, steal it, go on Facebook Live, broadcast? Wait. Hold on. I got to get to the punchline, Richard.
Oh, okay.
You would make Edward Snowden look like a Boy Scout. You would be that huge.
And Snowden, of course, was nearly thrown into prison. He got away just in time. I still can't return to the United States.
Why not be that guy? I would do it. I would be on the run.
Well, what happens is that over time, there have been people who have spoken privately. I've spoken to some of these individuals, and I know you have spoken to them too.
Yes.
Who will say certain things off the record. But You know, the whole thing with the technology, I mean, I have felt for the longest time, the technology that is being studied from these UFOs, and we know this at least from some very quiet, classified leaks, this is really important, and it truly is dramatically transformative of our society. And I just don't think that those people who are in a position to control this secrecy to whatever extent they can, that they will never voluntarily let this out. They will never voluntarily let it out. So I think what we're seeing, though, is that in our era now, I do think that it's really possible that that some people at the top are getting to the point where they're ready to throw up their hands and think, we may not be able to contain this the way we have in the past, so we need to get out in front of it and control the spin. We need to get out in front of it and control the release of the technology. And by the way, I would just float one theory about To the Stars Academy for you and your listeners on Coast here, which is that if you really look at the way that they've been dealing with the releases of, like, the videos of the UFOs and the information, it's really possible that, that the public is not their main audience. I think it's really possible that Congress and the U.S. government is their main audience. These are people who I think are very closely connected to Robert Bigelow. Robert Bigelow has a long, long, long history of deep connection to this UFO phenomenon. He has studied it more than almost anyone alive. And, you know, I've never spoken to Bigelow, but I would hazard to guess that he's one of the most knowledgeable, insightful people on the UFO phenomenon that there is in this world. And having studied it the way he has, I would bet anything that he has inside track on some of the scientific ideas, technological ideas, and it wouldn't shock me in the least if this is a play to get congressional funding for research and development, so that they're on the inside track of new R&D and new tech that would be released as a result of this. So, I mean, I wonder that we are not the primary audience, that is, we the public, but rather these releases, the news that's come out, is for a different audience, and that audience is much more elite than we are. I simply wonder about this.
Fingers crossed. And I hope that you're right. And, you know, this is, and I always look at it this way, Richard, when we eventually have that conversation with ET Direct, right? And I don't know what it is, but he steps off and we're actually, you and I get to talk to him. I think we'll find out quickly that we know nothing, that we were all wrong.
You might be more optimistic about it than me. Everything that comes to me in this research tells me I don't really think that we can handle them. I just don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't.
You know, there's something, people freak out with this phenomenon. It's not just sightings. I mean, my God, sightings alone are enough to cause people to lose it. But then there are the encounters where it's very obvious that they, whoever these beings are, these grays and others, they have an ability to manage our cognitive capabilities in certain ways, and I just don't think we're on equal footing. And all the people who I feel are the most knowledgeable, I think of people like Whitley Strieber. I think of some of the other people who have dealt with a great deal of contact experiences. They know that we are not at this level that we're going to be able to deal with them without major psychological breakdown or worse. And I don't know that that's the case, but I do wonder. They're not announcing themselves at the White House lawn. They're not making themselves public, and maybe it is for a reason. I don't know about you, but I have relatives, and when I get together with them a couple of times a year, they're wonderful people, but could they really handle the truth and the reality of this phenomenon? And I think many, I love them to death, but no, I don't think that many of them could. And I think that's the way that the world tends to be.
Yeah, when it all went down back in December, we had a dinner with our family here in Burbank. And they were all talking about it, but they were talking about it in these terms because they heard it on, you know, and you know, it was all over the place, all over the mainstream news. And their answer, which surprised me because I don't talk UFOs with them ever, was like, well, we knew this all along. What's the big deal? And I was shocked. I was shocked at that response. And it was just like the conversation just moved on and we started talking about food.
Well, it's a normal, it's a healthy response. However, what we never really take into account is what would it be like to stand in a room with one of these beings and to actually have eye contact with them or mental communication? And I think...
You haven't?
I might have some trouble with it.
You haven't? Okay, okay.
I have not, no. And, you know, I mean, there's part of me that would really like to, right? But there's a part of me that really wonders how psychologically strong am I? And I really don't know until I've been put in that position. I do talk to other people who've had experiences. Some of them are very foggy. It's almost like they come out of a brain fog after they've had something happen to them. And it makes me think there's a cognitive control that they can exert over us. And then other people have had the most unbelievably intense panic attacks that I've ever had described to me. And so it just there's something that is a clue to me that they affect our emotional centers and they affect our cognitive capabilities in ways that we haven't yet been able to counter. At least this is my feeling. So I don't think they're bad. I don't think they're good. I don't know what they are, but we don't operate on their level. And there are probably, I can imagine, if I were one of the insiders, which I'm certainly not, but knowing what, if I knew what I think is the truth, then I would surmise that these other beings have their own agenda. We cannot stop them. They do what they want to do, and we really can't deal with them. I might very well elect to say, no, the public can't handle it. And all of the leaks that have ever come out have always implied the public can't handle this. Now, you and I don't believe that, and I believe that as difficult as the truth may be on this subject, and I do think it could be very difficult, I still have this belief that the truth has to win out. In the long run, it must win out, rather than have us remain like we're 5 years old for the rest of our civilization. We have to grow up. We have to move into this truth so that we can evolve into whatever it is we're supposed to be. And we'll never be able to do that when we're embedded in a civilization founded on lies. So that's my feeling. But the truth may be difficult, and we will very likely have some serious psychological adjustment.
Are you surprised?
Depth of the reality.
Right, right. Well, aren't you surprised that there was a general lack of panic, you know, since December? I don't know of anybody jumping off of any buildings.
Well, I think the main reason is that the mainstream establishment media has handled this very deftly. They've handled it very, very well. So they let a little bit of the information out in December, and people, I think, were genuinely surprised, not just folks like us, like in the UFO field, but I think that the rest of the world was shocked, like, what, the New York Times is reporting on UFOs and they're not laughing about it? Like, that was shocking. But what the Times and what the rest of the establishment also did is they have not yet followed up with the real deep implication. A few have, like I saw an interview on Fox News, Tucker Carlson interviewing David Fravor, the commander of the Navy aircraft, and it was a very good interview, and it was deep. And there are a few of these that are out there, but by and large, there have been very few, follow-up stories that have really gone deep. So until the mainstream establishment media goes to a deep place on this, I think there won't be panic, and there won't be this demand from the public for answers. And this is really what we have to wait for. So we've seen this first big, you know, the one shoe drops. December 16th, this big story comes out. We're now waiting for the other shoe to fall. In other words, when either the public or the media, someone's got to get out in front of this and push this matter so that the other the other partner. That is, if the media gets out in front of this and starts pushing it, they will get the public worked up, because the public is, it's like, put a ring through their nose, and they always seem to follow what the establishment media wants. And so until the establishment media really, truly digs deep, and I mean deep, the public's not going to get worked up over this. But if the public somehow on its own, maybe through people like us, through the alternative media, can force this issue, maybe, just maybe, there'll be something will give, and there'll be greater coverage from the establishment media. That's a possibility. You know, I would never have thought this a couple of years ago, but we are living in a really radically revolutionary era right now, and all bets are off, in my opinion. We don't know what's going to happen in a year, 5 years, 10 years from now, 6 months from now. We don't know.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal, or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.